truth?
I'm all ears.
Okay. The truth.
I always tell the truth, even when I lie.
Why do you find it so hard to believe?
Why do you find it so easy?
It's never been easy!
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
All I'm offering is the truth. Nothing more.
Welcome to Truthful Talk. I'm your host, Marco DeGeorge, and we are back. And once again, I'm here with the amazingly talented Natalie Bulaich.
Hello. Hi, Marco. Thank you for that lovely intro.
Oh, you're very welcome. So today, I know we were going to talk about personalization as it relates to acting, stepping into character, those type of things. And because I know there's a lot of questions about that. There's you know, so many people have questions of, okay, so now I have the character, I've been cast in something. How do I step into it? What do I do? What's that process? And I know one of the things I typically tell actors, especially in class, is that really, ultimately, there is no such thing as character.
It's such a hard one to learn.
And it's weird. I know it's weird because we think, well, of course there's a character. That's who we're playing in the film or on stage. And what I mean is that the term character is something that is used for writers. It's used for directors. It's used for media or consumers who are watching the product. A way of talking about the people that are occurring in the story. We call them characters. But to an actor, I think it's important that we don't think of the character as somebody external to ourselves. Because if we're cast in a role and we say, oh, okay, this character, immediately it's like third person. Immediately it's something external to us, which means it's not us. So what I normally say is there is no character, there's only you. The actor is the character immediately once you're cast. And I don't mean that in the methody style actor way of like we pretend or I don't know whatever happens when they become the character and quote unquote and they don't ever drop out of character. What I mean is that as an actor, we go to an audition and we use mostly ourselves when we're auditioning. And so whoever's watching that, a casting director or director, they're basing it, you know, you get cast in something based in your essence, a lot of who you actually are. And while who we actually are isn't going to be enough for the role because this person that we're stepping into is usually different than who we are in some way, that's where we start from. We start with us. And then we go down this path of this thing called personalization, which is inhabiting the point of view of this thing we call character, which is really just that. It's a different point of view of the world. And we begin inhabiting that with as much time as we have between now getting cast and then the next point, which is acting in the performance. And in whatever that time is, that's really all we're doing is taking on a point of view. Is that how you see it? Or
okay, so how I see it for myself, that took a while to understand, and I'm still practicing this thought process. For me, it helps me to say, okay, this is me, but in a different dimension. If I believe in the, you know, that there's infinity amounts of us or whatever it is, like I try to approach it in that way. So there is like in this part for that role, that's me. And it's just somewhere else in a different planet. But why I do that is because it was such a difficult thing to say, okay, how do I remove the veneer from myself to that character that I'm playing? And for a long time, I still had it. The character would become close and there were spurts of that interconnectedness, but the work behind it and personalizing it and really spending, I think, most of the time now when I get roles, I want to spend most of my time personalizing it constantly as much as I can. I feel like that's a better way to spend my time, so that I can mesh that character with who I am. So it is me. But sometimes I think maybe students in general, we want to say, oh, you know, it's a role that I'm playing or something like that. It's very hard to absorb that and say, no, this is me doing this through this. And it just wasn't till recently, the last year or so, that it made sense and is more like dangerous and exciting to say, to grasp it and absorb that and say, this is me.
Yeah. And just so everyone understands, like, so when we say personalize, first of all, let's clarify that. The art of personalization is taking a script, words on a page, and not just understanding why they are important to this abstract thing called character, but making them personal to us, the actor. So the things that we talk about, the events that occur in the script, the relationships that occur in the script, we create personal relationships with them as if they're real, as if they're part of our actual mm-hmm. life. But at the same time, we do it in a way that is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Safe meaning we don't compromise our mental health, our emotional health, our physical health. We don't compromise those things, but we're able to step into a completely different point of view, which is what character is. Character is simply a different point of view, because it's still us. And it's like you mm-hmm. said, it's like we're in the multiverse
yeah.
and we just went into a different dimension, a different universe. And it's us as if we were born to these people.
Yes.
Or us
yes.
as if we
I
were lived.
That.
Yeah.
As
in
if
this
we were
time
born
period.
To these people in this time period. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still us.
Yes.
Meaning it's still our essence. It's still mm-hmm. who we are physically.
Mm-hmm.
It's just us in a different
mm-hmm.
sliver of life, I mm-hmm. guess. And so that's what we're talking about when we say personalization and so forth. We're not in all talking about, because it's important to understand that we haven't really discussed this yet. And I guess we can.
Mm-hmm.
There's different types of acting as it relates to stepping into this thing called personalization. And there are what I would consider safe methodologies and unsafe methodologies. To me, an unsafe methodology is in any way using any sort of past trauma to trigger or bring about an emotional result. To me, that can be unhealthy, because when we go in, for example, if I wanted to connect to something personally in the script, one of the methodologies which I consider unsafe is that, well, I could go back into a traumatic event in my past which felt something similar, and I could relive that or revisualize that event and then bring those emotions into the current present and, you know, into this moment and use them into the acting. But the issue is nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to go into your past trauma. Nobody wants mm-hmm. to dig up actual things or use real things from your life. And that can be actually very unsafe, because yeah. we're doing it in an uncontrolled environment. Many people have spent years going through therapy, putting that stuff away.
Yes.
The last thing we ever want to do is rehash it or bring that back up. So instead, we use imagination work and some other tools that help us connect to these things, starting with who we are today, and then slowly inching over into a different point of view, slowly taking this stuff
mm-hmm.
stuff on. I think it's so critical to work safely in this art.
1000%, absolutely. It can be dangerous for people if they do not take their safety into consideration. It really can be, and you don't want to do a number on yourself like that when you're trying to, you know, produce art or bring something beautiful to the world, if you will. It's just, I guess there's a saying, like, there's several ways to skin a cat, you know, and unfortunately that's an option or a way that people sometimes really feel that they are the most raw or vulnerable, but it is damaging to their psyche.
It definitely can be, because it's difficult to, so we have something that we call a trigger out, which means we have ways and methodologies of stepping into the life of whatever we need for a scene. But then when we're done, we could step out, or we trigger out of that life. And we can do that because we're working from imagination and, mm-hmm. and this wonderful creative world. And triggering out allows us to disconnect from these sometimes traumatic, vulnerable places that we have to go to. So it allows us to step in and then step out and have control over that. Ultimately, for me as an actor and as a teacher in this, what I try to teach is that we want to learn how to be out of control emotionally, meaning we're not trying to govern that or control that, but allow ourselves to fully feel and express while also being fully in control mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. We don't ever want to lose control physically. That could lead to harm.
Dangerous. Yeah.
We don't ever want to lose control mentally. That could lead to just chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially like if you're on stage, you need to be very focused. If you're on set, you need to be very focused, or things could, mm-hmm. you know, get hurt or ruined or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. But we want to have the ability to step in and step out to keep ourselves safe. When we work from real events in our life, there's no separation. Mm. We can't trigger out of that because it's part of who you actually are.
Mm.
And that's where I've seen over and over and over, you know, as a director and also as an actor and a producer, I've seen actors really struggle with, like, who have worked from that type of format where they step into something and they cannot get out of it.
Yeah.
And now they're in this either this really bad mood or this dark place, or they're just in a, yeah, it's really difficult.
And then
difficult.
They have, if they, you know, have the role, if you will, if they're on stage and they're, you know, exercising that weekends or days, however long the show is going. So they're also, you know, rebuilding those synaptic connections constantly. So it's just, it can be a dark, dark place.
And that's why there's some actors that who use this that struggle, especially on stage, and they'll say how exhausting the role is from a negative standpoint. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, it's so exhausting, or oh my God, it really weighed me down. When you learn to work from imagination, you can go to the darkest places and it actually re-energizes you. It's not this horrible thing that you have to do. And not to say that we don't take on, sure, I mean, we feel some of the things mm-hmm. that our characters are feeling, but at the same time, we're able to step in and step out, which gives us a freedom and a liberty.
Yeah.
To be able to do that. So in other words, acting can be fun, even going to these dark places.
Yes.
Where in this, you know, in the unsafe form of acting, to me, that's just not fun. And I mean, I've seen actors, you know, punch holes through walls and throw chairs yeah. and knock tables over.
Self-harm, you know, whether it's substances or
yeah.
literally physically self-harm, because they can't, like, you're right, they don't separate or unable to separate that role that they're playing with the drive home, staying home, sleeping, waking, then, you know, going to work. But they're bringing that in with them because that's what they've been trained to do or utilize. And the power of the imagination has been such an amazing exploration. And like you said, fun when you're able to do that, you know, and I just wish more people would trust that, to explore that. And it does take time to get to that place where you can utilize that. You always have these, the students do, and I love it. I almost do it nightly, but it's to fall asleep. But the dream exercises.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful, just a nice way to walk into, let's just see, in the 8 minutes that you're falling asleep, set yourself up. You want to have a beautiful experience, a relaxing experience, and the subconscious does what it does. But it's just it's just so powerful, the ability to choose that tool, imagination, over the reality.
Over reality. And to me, that's the skill of being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an actor, if we had to really become in real life the things that our characters are.
Yeah.
And if we did that work, like, you know, some people, like, it's like, oh, okay, well, I really need to become this thing. Well, then we're not acting anymore.
Right.
Right. Well, where's the skill of acting? Now you're just being,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've actually become that in life. It's like, well, no, you've transformed yourself there. Acting is the skill of stepping in, of being one person in one moment and then very quickly stepping into the life of somebody else, like really mm-hmm. stepping over into another life and being able to live that life fully for as long as you need to, but then stepping back out back to yourself again and not having to stay in that. And, you know, another thing I see sometimes is when actors say, oh, you know, it's usually not the actor talking about it. It's usually somebody talking about them mm-hmm. that says, oh, they stayed in character the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you don't need to do that ever. Nobody needs to stay in character yeah. the whole time. I get it if we're in a rehearsal or if we're on set and we're doing take to take, that you're staying in the emotional place you need to be or the mental place you need mm-hmm. to be, just because it's very quickly we're going into the next take.
In a zone or something.
Yeah, you're in yeah. a zone. We're just staying focused on where we need to be for that. But when the day wraps or we're wrapped for lunch or, you know, things like that happen, or if it's a play, rehearsal's over, the play is over, step out of it.
Yeah.
There's no need to stay in it.
Yeah.
There's none. In no way does it mean they're a more committed actor or they're actually just, that's so much more difficult to deal with when someone won't step out of the role, because yeah. we need to collaborate as actors.
Yes.
As artists. And it's hard to collaborate with somebody who refuses to allow the actor to shine.
And it also, to me, it's almost even more difficult, or, you know, a skill that should be applauded, when you're able to bounce in, because that just shows, I think, the confidence in and the trust that you have in your craft and your what you've been practicing. And some people, I was one, especially in the beginning too, that just like, no, I can't leave this space. I have to stay here because I'm going to lose it.
That's the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we're going to lose it, right?
Yeah.
If we step into, like, especially like an emotional place yeah. or something, it's like, oh my God, we're going to lose that emotion. So we have to stay emotional. And it's like, well, it's not about that.
And then you're building more anxiety because you're like, oh my gosh, I can't. It just, you know, hit me this one time, or, you know, it's so intangible that it's, you don't know what you're internally dealing with. And I guess that can separate the actors who are, let's say, beginning. So much trust that's involved in acting. It's incredible. And to trust in oneself, it's incredible. And that's why, like, I love you. I love Rob, because you guys give us the tools to say, no, it's okay to do this. You know, speaking to our logical brains, like, no, I got to stay here. I got to stay here because I can't do it if I don't stay this way. And little by little, you find that, okay, they were right. You know, letting go.
You know, and I know there's, you know, because there's even big actors that have done this, and there's always, you know, I always get that argument. Yeah, but what about this person? What about that person? And they're a great actor. I'm like, listen, yeah, their performances are great.
Yeah.
But when you go to the point where it's like, I'm going to step into a character and I'm not going to step out of it for the entire filming process, that's ego.
Right.
That's no longer the art. Yeah. You don't need to do that.
Yes.
That's putting yourself, making yourself more important than anything else in the process. And it's like, no, the project, whatever the story is, the project's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And we need to collaborate.
Yes.
It's hard to collaborate if I can't talk to the actor behind the character.
I almost say almost impossible to, because it's, you need that ability to jump out of it. But acting is a collaborative art. It's not about the actor alone, which is another massive lesson, you know, when you realize, like, oh yeah, it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. It's just my little tiny piece in the massive cogwheel, or the whatever it is that I got to do my best with here, and be able to talk to whomever the production team is, the directors are, the director is, everything, costume, set design. And I mean, I'm lucky enough that I haven't been able to, or I haven't been with people that just stay in character, you know, in that way, because I wouldn't even know how to. I'm not interested in that. Maybe some directors are, you know, maybe it sells more. I don't know.
It's annoying.
Likes or whatever. It's annoying.
It does, you know, it does. Yeah, you can get some good articles and traction
right.
on it from,
like,
that,
oh, yeah,
standpoint.
He stayed in it, you know.
Most directors hate it.
Yeah.
And most other actors that have to work with that hate it.
Right.
Because it's just not fun.
No.
It's not collaborative.
It's not open.
And it really just comes from ego, of And sometimes when I say ego, ego doesn't necessarily mean overinflated. Sometimes it could be underinflated, yeah. not feeling good enough, not, you know, it's like, right. I need to step
the
into
other
this.
Side, yeah.
Yeah. If I don't stay in character, I may not be able to get back to where right. I was. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all sorts of insecurities that go along with that.
Sure.
But the harder skill, to me, the better skill mm-hmm. is learning how to step in and out, yes. in and out, over yes. and over.
Yes. And the sometimes the people who are learning this skill, the triggering outness of it, when I see them first get introduced to it, and let's say this exercise, the imaginary circumstance exercise is over, it's interesting to see how some people don't want to trigger or don't know how, because it is an exploration of going inward, and it's a powerful thing, but it's just, you know, you have to learn eventually in time how to be able to separate that and say it's okay to oneself, or you guys always say here, like, I am enough here. And it's just so interesting how just people, when they get overwhelmed with that feeling, just think that they have to stay with it. And then it's like, you don't have to.
No, you don't.
Or and, should you?
And you build a confidence over time of knowing that you can step into it every single time. And, yeah. you know, theater actors do this all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, you're in a run of a show. You're doing 500 performances. You can't stay in character for, no. you know, for that long of a period of time, for years. No, you don't. You step into it when you need and you step out when you're mm-hmm. done, and that's it. And it doesn't take away from the performance to be able to do that.
Right.
But that's coming back. That's where this thing called personalization comes in. It's learning how to use these tools safely to be able to step in when you need to. And step out. Now in theater, I like to have a little more time to step into a character. I like to have 45 minutes or so before I go on stage to just kind of zone into what I'm about to do and just get my mind settled and focused. But in film, we have to do it very quickly sometimes.
Yeah, very quickly. When the cameras are there, ready to go again, they say, how much time do you need to prep again? And you know, you learn about yourself too, about, you know, where you need to exercise that muscle. You're like, oh, just give me 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 8 minutes, you know, you play with it or yeah. whatnot. And then you're just like, oh, okay, I need to go back to the drawing board to make sure that that muscle and personalization and the meaning, the truthful meaning is there to be able to bring back up, I guess, in a matter of less and less time, which again is a skill.
That's the skill of being able to do that. And then, you know, of course, the media has, there's, I guess, misinterpretations of acting. Unless you're really in acting at a deep level, unless you're somebody that has gone through a conservatory or that, you know, you've been in the acting world for a long time, especially theater, it's hard to really understand what acting's about. And the media, just because it's easier to sell articles, loves to misinterpret the acting process. Mm-hmm. For example, when Heath Ledger passed away, mm-hmm. the story was, the character of the Joker mm-hmm. killed him, mm-hmm. right? It was so dark going into this characterization mm-hmm. of the Joker and everything he had to go through that it you know brought him down and killed him. And it had nothing to do right. with it. He was 8 months beyond filming that, first of all. Mm-hmm. He was filming another movie at the time that he passed. And he's on record even saying, you know, playing the Joker was the most fun he's ever had doing a role.
Yep. Wow.
But, you know, it's from the outside, sometimes it's hard to understand what actors do.
Yeah.
So we just see the end result on the screen and we're like, wow, that must have been a dark place that he had to go to. And it was like, no, actually, it wasn't. It was a, you know, sure, it's a difficult characterization to get into. Mm-hmm. There's physicality and there's voice and there's emotion and there's all sorts of things he had to do.
His point of view.
Right. His point of view. But we have a separation between us as a human and then us as this other person in this life. Yeah. There's that separation that we can step in and step out. And in the case of Heath Ledger, he went through that process. I remember there was an article that talked about how, oh, when he did the Joker, he locked himself in his room and was in this like really dark place for a long time. And the reality was he was simply doing his initial personalization work.
The work.
He was doing the work, which consists of a lot of writing and a lot of, you know, exploration and things like that, which we as actors do alone a lot of times, just because we're in creative exploration. it doesn't mean we're going down a dark road or depressed or anything else.
Yeah, you're just in the lab.
We're just in the lab. Yeah, we're just working. In Heath Ledger's case, unfortunately, he had personal things going on, which were causing him to require some medications that he then overdosed on. Mm-hmm. And so it had nothing to do with his acting. And so this is where we, you know, it's important that if you're thinking about getting into acting or, you know, just trying to understand what it's all about, mm-hmm. that this whole path that we call personalization is really the deeper step and the deeper skill mm-hmm. of acting. It's taking that script and over a long period of time, as long as we have anyway, for being cast to when we're either filming or going on stage, is to do a process where we bring it into ourselves. And there's, you know, it's hard to explain the whole process without studying it, but we have writing exercises we do, mm-hmm. Creative exploration exercises that we do. There's even, you know, some physicality exercises, vocal exercises. There's all sorts of different things that mm-hmm. we work on, but it's all just creation. It's art, and it's allowing ourselves to just explore. And there's an important word called discover. Mm-hmm. We slowly discover things about the character. We do script analysis during that time because the writer has planted clues for us right there in the script.
Right.
And so we lean on that and we kind of discover what those clues are about who this person is, what drives them, what motivates them, what do they want? What are they fighting for? Mm-hmm. What do they need? Because mm-hmm. these are human beings at the end of the day.
Yes.
And I say human beings, we basically humanize any character we play. Even mm-hmm. if it's an alien, even if it's a, you know, whatever.
Right.
We humanize them to be relatable for an audience. So we have to figure out, what is that motivation? Why do they care about anything that they're mm-hmm. doing? And part of that whole exploration is what we call personalization. And we do it in a way where eventually it's these things mean something to us.
Yeah.
These people mean something to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nat, you did the play Gideon's Knot.
Yes.
By Jonna Adams. And it was, you know, it's a very, for those of you who don't know, it's a very dark play because it deals with preteen suicide. And so it's a dark play, meaning the play starts in a low point and mm-hmm. then spirals downward. So it's a pretty dark exploration of this, you know, topical thing of preteen suicide. But I remember you would go through and you would be on stage, you know, 90 minutes a night, you know, however long it took you to step into that character, and then 90 minutes a night, because it was a straight through real time play. And then afterwards, it would be 5-10 minutes afterwards when you'd come out to say mm-hmm. hi to the guests, bam, you were out.
Yes.
You had like let it go.
Yes.
And you were out.
That was, I think, the opportunity that I had to really take the trigger out, even though I'd been taking the classes and stuff, but I trusted in that. I had explored it so much that I knew that it works. So for something that devastating or, you know, that meaningful to the character that I was playing, when it was over, I was happy to, and as I rightfully should do, because it's not me, it's the story of this woman going through what she did. But then when I leave that stage, it's Natalie. I trigger out, use my little funky fun way to do that, and it dissipates. Now I was exhausted and tired or whatever, and you know, look swollen from crying here and there.
Yeah.
But at the end, it's not about us. It's about the story, trying to do it to the best that we can, the best availability that we have. And then it's time for it to end. And there's a time and place for everything. Beginning, middle, and end. And that ends when I leave the stage. Always, no matter what I do.
And it's there's something nice about that, about ending it, leaving it there.
Yes.
And then you pick it up the next night.
Yeah. Without hesitation, without any worry, can I do this again? Because again, you've trained us also, like, it's a focus, you know, work it, do it, trust in the process. And that comes in time. But yeah, I could have done it all year, you know, and been happy.
Yeah.
You know, go to do my job, express myself, and then leave. And then, you know, can laugh and giggle just like, you know, just whatever. It's just a natural progression. I think it's a healthy way to separate oneself from the character in that way.
Yeah. Acting needs to be fun.
It's a brilliant time. It is fun. It should never be something that's, yeah, horrible or dangerous to oneself ever. And I hope whoever's listening out there understands that one won't lose their mind. Like so many, you know, stories from even black and white days, you know, that, oh my gosh, they didn't know they were going into character so much and it just took them. My mother was very scared and I really wanted to take this seriously. And she was just like, aren't you afraid for your mental health? I'm afraid for your mental health kind of situation. And she didn't know that I was already sitting for years that I was like, it's not about that. It has nothing to do with that. That's an old school way, I guess, or an unhealthy way, unfortunately, that she probably was a little bit right. Just to make sure you go to someone safe, that you know what you're doing. But she was concerned. She didn't know what the teachers were going to be offering.
Well, sure. And I think from an outside standpoint, it's easy to be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's so difficult to understand what acting is from the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've run into this with students. You know, we kind of do an entry questionnaire when people come in. Why are you taking the class? What do you want to get out of it? You know, things like that. Just to see what their perception of acting is at that point. And just within the first couple classes, the eyes open. It's like, wait a minute. Acting is all about this. It's not just about pretending to put on a mask and be somebody else. It's like, no, not at all. It's, you know, Sanford Meisner has the quote that acting is not a putting on a mask to become the character. It's a peeling away of masks layer by layer to reveal the character. Oh, it's such a great quote because that's what we do. We actually have to peel away our social masks that we wear in life to get down to more of a core essence that then we build back up.
Yeah.
You know, this thing called character, which is this other point of view of the world, which many times, I don't know if I've ever played a character that was exactly my point of view.
Yeah, I don't think. I've seen your performances here and I'm thinking, no.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and in film, I've done a lot of like, you know, cop, mafia.
Mafia,
like,
yeah, so, like, yeah.
They're so fun to play. But,
heard
you know.
From that, if they
but
really
it's like,
knew.
No, that's not me. That's,
yeah.
You know, And so, you know, but it's still my essence. It's just we have to get rid of all the social masks, which make up my point of view of me in society, and then instead step into the point of view. Because when I say step into a point of view, I mean, the actor has to fight for the point of view of the character. I mean, we need to fight for whatever it is we need or how this person sees the world. Mm-hmm. That in those moments where we're on stage or in front of the camera, we are the ones fighting for that. We can't pretend to fight for that or pretend to care about that.
Right.
We need to really.
Which is the challenging part, but I do believe it's all challenge, but I think that's, I guess for me, the most challenging part, again, to fight for that point of view now that it's mine and own the fact that it's mine. Instead of saying I'm fighting for this character's point of view, which again, I've veneer is like my new word of the day, but I was just thinking about it earlier about how there was a thin layer between me and the character that I want to break down. And as I look back and then to now, I'm just seeing how I've been evolving. And it's just it takes time. I guess some people are better at it than others, but to really mold those two, that character is now you. And now you're fighting for that point of view that you might not, obviously you don't in real life. You have your own, like you said, social mask that you put on, which we all have, which is basically how we survive outside. But like you said, you have to break that down first so that you can build from clarity. I don't know, from a freshness. I don't, but it's so, that's where it becomes like a raw for me and, you know, really exciting when I can feel that little portion is gone and I'm fighting from that point of view. That's now mine. It's liberating.
Yeah. When you get to the point where you really care about what you're talking about,
it's liberating.
It really is. And sometimes the things we care about in that script world are vastly different than the things we care about in the real world.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But that's what we have to do though, because if we don't bring that level of truth to the performance, the audience is going to see right through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will immediately be false. And, you know, if any of you out there ever watched anything, you know, film, television, anything, and you immediately know it's false, you know, usually we call it cheesy or something. Yeah. You immediately know it's false. Mm-hmm. It's just because they're, you know, the actor in that moment or the director or whomever it is, they're not going deep enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing the role of the character instead of living that life.
And does that bring into then they didn't personalize deep enough to have the deep enough meaning?
Typically, it's typically in those situations, they're memorizing the words, but they don't know why they're saying them.
Right.
It's not personal to them to say this. They're not fighting for anything.
Right. There's nothing on the line for them to lose, I guess, or, you know, a vulnerability. Stake is what I hear a lot. But I'm always trying to find, like, where is that line between lightness or, let's say, like you said, untruth, I guess, and then that the truth where it's meaning. And then I feel like it comes to you when it does mean something to you in the action of it, in the rehearsal process, in the whatever it is.
I think rehearsal is so important too for this. And it doesn't matter genre wise, because it doesn't matter if it's drama, comedy, you can tell the difference between, you know, when, as an audience, when we believe what's happening in the character.
Yeah.
That's it. Then it's like, man, that the actor's doing a good job.
Yeah. And do you think that's also a mixture between the director and the actor, or the actor is meant to personalize on their own and then bring an offering to the director, and the director was like, yeah, or no, this isn't good, or I want something else? But
yeah, I think it's a collaboration between the two. Yeah, I think in early rehearsal, directors need to kind of give their vision of what they're looking for, but then the actor needs to go off and do that. Some begin the personalization process, which is usually a solo process.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, bring something back to make an offer to the director and say, you know, like, it's like, show me, let's run the scene, or let's run this moment. Let's see what we have. And then the director can then make the choice of, yes, let's go further, or let's pull back, or whatever that may be. But it's a collaboration between the two. But it does take an actor that is able to do that.
Yes.
A director can't guide an actor that's not able to do that into that world. Mm-hmm. It's too difficult in the short time constraint that you have.
That's like a training, if you will.
It's
like
training.
That's literally acting classes, if you will, training on the job. I can't imagine whoever, you know, has gone through that, I'm sure here and there people, but the personalization to me is, I don't know, it's such a, I think it's the most important thing. I don't know yet. To me, maybe it's, you know, my mountain that I keep climbing, but because there is no bottom to it. There's no, you can't overfill yourself with meaning, I guess.
There's no end to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just keep, well, we as human beings we've spent our entire lives becoming the person we are today.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we're stepping into another person that is different from us. Well, we only have a very short time to develop their entire life. So the more time we have with that, with rehearsal and personalization and all of, the more time we have, the deeper we can go, the more we can fill in all of those different areas, which is great. I mean, rehearsal is so incredibly important for an actor.
I know. I love it. It's my favorite place, if you will, the constructing of it all, the building, the discovery. You said discovery earlier, which I think is another word that we have to maybe absorb as the students, as the actors, where you see that, you know, nothing is set in stone. You don't set it up. You don't, before you go through the personalization, you're discovering everything as kind of it's unfolding to you with the words, you know, with the personalization, with all the work. And it's just amazing how much more, I don't even know how much more full it is when you do discover things instead of set it up. And maybe that's a technical actor,
yeah.
But it's, or the ones who are a little, aren't going to that deep, meaningful place. But the discovery process is something that I think some people forget that it's about.
And the discovery process, well, I think we'll talk about it in another episode.
Oh, okay,
in
cool,
depth,
yeah.
Because I think we should. We should talk about play and discovery and, and what that means and different ways to do that. But it's something we go into called open mode, which simply means we're open to discover new things. There, we let go of right and wrong completely, mm-hmm. and we simply play.
Yep.
And during that play, we find things that we would have never found if we didn't do that. If we would have stayed analytical or logical, we would have never found those things. And to me, as a director and as an actor, but I love it as a director, I love going into that discovery mode and seeing what the actors can create. Mm-hmm. And typically what the actors can create is far greater than what anything I could have ever envisioned myself.
It's amazing. The unknown, right?
The unknown.
And then having the trust in your actors, which you do, to go and discover, you know? And
yeah, it's, you know, and you know, as directors, if there's any directors listening, you know, you have to have incredible amount of humility. You can't be in the position where you want to have all the answers. You need to have all the answers, or, you know, a strong ego. It's, you have to be willing to collaborate, and the ability to collaborate means you need to not have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And I love not knowing.
Yeah.
I love going into the process saying, I don't know, but we're going to figure it out together.
Right.
And to me, the art is always stronger working together.
Yes, it is. And it's an amazing thing when you have a director like you, where, let's say in the beginnings of it, as the actor, people are thinking, I need to know what's happening right now. I need to know what's happening. No, what are we doing? Where, you know, then when they ask you like, what's going to happen? And you're like, I don't know. We're going to discover it together, you know? And it's a faith that you have and wonderful directors have with that open mode, with that scheduled time to say from this time to this time, it's open. And then afterwards, when you, I guess you can feel where it's going or something, then you're like, okay, now it's closed. Now it's time to solidify all the choices from the discoveries that we make, I guess.
Yeah.
It freaked a lot of people out, I remember.
Yeah, it does.
I need to know right now.
Yeah, because, you know, we do. We get worried if we don't know what's going to happen. It's like, well, when the play opens or when the first day of filming occurs and like, if I don't have all the answers, then what's going to happen? And to me, that's part of the skill of being an actor is, you know what? We don't ever have all the answers.
Yeah.
And living in that unknown world that's the thrill of what we do.
And that's in life in general, you know, but it's the same thing. Like what human has all the answers? You don't. You're just discovering in this adventure that you were going on this thing called life. And it's just interesting, you know, when people let go of the control, what comes out, the creative collaboration with all of that, with all the work, all the stuff that the work brings to one person, oneself. And that it's just amazing. Like you said, it's better than anything you could have anticipated, or it's beautiful.
Well, I think that's a great spot to end on for today. I think that was wonderful. So thank you all for tuning in today. We'll be back, you know, and I think we will in some time here in the future, we'll talk about play and discovery and how that works into it. Because I think it's so important.
Please, let's.
Into the process. But until next time, I hope you all do well. Do something fun for yourselves out there. Be nice to yourselves. And we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
If you'd like to learn more about our studio and what we do, you can find us online at truthfulacting.com. And check out truthfulactingonline.com for our Learn at Home at Your Own Pace courses.
So what I told you was true, from a certain point of view.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
I know what you're trying to do.
I'm trying to free your mind. But I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.